Well, what a joy it is to get to share with you this morning. When Pastor Jarrett called me, he said, look, I got to be at the Jersey Village campus. He said, would you like to come talk about God? And I thought, would I? Now, the unfortunate part of this, with such kind words by Brother Jeff at the start, there's a very kind lady in our class who texted me and said, are you going to be teaching tomorrow? And I said, yes, I am. I'm eager to see you there. And be sure you stay for church. I'll also get to be preaching. And she said, well, my children really love Pastor Jarrett. So they may not be there, but I'll show up. So for those of you who didn't know he wasn't here today and you came anyway, don't leave. I'm watching the exits. But it's a delight to be here. So we've been in Florida this week for a good bit of the week. And I was talking to our kids there. And I said, look, there's this TV show that I got hooked on. And it's one, it's called, let's see if this is working. We have no remote control working. Let's see if they'll let me do this. No. And you know, we get up here at 7 o'clock in the morning. Maybe if I take my shoe off, I can do it with my toe. That doesn't work either. Chris, are you somewhere around? Hi. What do we do when it doesn't work? Well, let me tell you about the slide you're not seeing. It's this Korean show. It's called Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha. It's like 16 episodes on Netflix. We're going to try it again? Still doesn't work. Here you go. You give it a shot. And Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha is my effort. It's one of several Korean shows. I'm trying to learn Korean. So far, all I've learned is how you say hello. But I've got that down pretty good. So if you speak Korean and want to say hello to me, I'm your guy. Beyond that, I got nothing. So is it working now, you think? Okay, let's try it. Yeah, there it is. Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha. That's the cast. Now, let me tell you why I like this show. The characters are amazing. They've got old people. They got young people. They've got people in the middle. And they all have such great character development that I absolutely love it. I love shows where they have great character development. Lonesome Dove. I mean, you can't watch Lonesome Dove without falling in love with the characters. It's just so strong and so good. Well, this is important today because today, part of my assignment from Pastor Jarrett is to talk theology. So let's bring it up on the TV screen. Now, theology itself may sound like a loaded term to some of you. Pastor Jarrett last week talked about the importance of doctrine and what we believe, and we're transfusing that into this idea today of theology. Now, if I can be school teacher for just a moment, theology as a word is a pretty easy thing to get, but we need to get it. See, it's actually two Greek words put together. It's the Greek word theos, which is God, okay? And then you have logi, which is an anglicized out of logos, the Greek word for word. But not just word, it's the Greek word also for speech. It's also the Greek word for a message. It's also a Greek word for an idea and concepts. Logic comes from it. So theology could literally be translated as talking about God. So I get to talk about God. Some people say theology is thinking about God. Well, when you're thinking, what are you doing in your head? Talking. So that's talking about God in your head. Some theologians call it the science of God because ology sounds like a science, you know, like biology, the science of life. Pastor Jarrett last week talked about it as the study of God, also a great way to say it. But when we talk about theology, there are lots of different branches and subjects within theology. But all of them, they're not separate buckets. They're all interwoven together like a spider web. So there are lots of topics that touch each other. And you can talk about the theology of creation, the theology of the fall, the theology of redemption, the theology of Jesus, the theology of the Trinity, the theology of God the Father, the God the Holy Spirit. You can talk the theology of resurrected life. You can talk theology of the second coming, which is an eschatology. You can talk about all sorts of theology branches. All of them, though, are interrelated in this idea of talking about God. So that's what we're going to do. I got 29 minutes and 39 seconds. And we are going to talk theology. So I pulled up the TV screen. We've got three different shows we're going to look at. The first one is the show that asks this question, why is it important? I mean, don't we just need to love Jesus and sing songs and go eat? Why is it important? And then I want to talk about, let's do some. Let's talk about God. Let's do some theology together. And then the third thing that we're going to do is we're going to say, how does this matter to me after church is over? And that's the most important part of all, perhaps. I mean, that's like which headlight's more important on your car. These are both important, all important. But let's start out with this first question. Why is it important? Now, here's a passage of scripture I'm going to give you. It's from John chapter 17. This is a point in the life of Jesus where he is about to be arrested and tried and indicted and convicted and crucified and killed before his resurrection. I mean, this is right before. And Jesus spends almost all night in prayer. We don't have all of the prayer because the disciples fell asleep while they were supposed to be listening. But they stayed awake enough to give us John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, Jesus says this to God, the Father. He says, this is eternal life. That they know you. The only true God, monon aletheton theon, the one, the only, the one and only, alethes is true, but it's also genuine, the real deal, the only genuine God. This is eternal life, that you would know the only true God. That word know in the Greek, gnosko, doesn't mean simply have your brain turned on where your brain gets it. That word know in the Greek is talking about an intimacy. It's talking about an intimate knowledge, a relationship. Adam knew his wife, and they had a kid out of it. The word know in the Greek is also used metaphorically for a sexual union between a husband and a wife. It's an intimacy word. And Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they know you. Now, we're going to be talking about the Bible. Sweet lady in my class this morning said, well, I sure hope you put John 5 in there. I said, me too. What is John 5? I'm looking it up. Oh, yeah, this would be real good. Where Jesus says, you search the scriptures and that's real good. But the scriptures point to me. And I'm the one that saves you. So we've got to be careful with theology, because we can talk about God all we want, but we need to know him. That does include knowing about him, but it also involves being in a relationship with him. So this is eternal life, that they know you, the only, the one, genuine God. You worshiping anything else, it's fake. If you're ascribing great worth to anything other than the one true God, You're wasting your time. You're feeding yourself falsehood. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that is it. That's the only true God we need to be in a relationship with. And no, but I got news for you. I'm going to show you a picture. You ready? Here you go. Any of y'all know any of those people? Look long and hard. Do you know them? Some of you may be thinking, look, I have a tendency to think that I see certain people frequently when my wife tells me I'm not right and who it is. I don't have good discernment. I thought I recognized several of those people, but I want to tell you how I got that image. I Googled random people in Ukraine. And that's one of the pictures that came up. So the odds are, I don't think any of us know them, though if they're watching on the internet, we are praying for you guys. Random people in Ukraine. Well, now how are you going to get to know them? If you want to get to know them, what do you got to do? You got to sit down with them and talk to them. You got to ask them questions. You got to get to know them some. Some of you in here are old enough to remember the TV show, What's My Line? And some of you in here are young enough to remember it because the younger generation is watching all the stuff my parents watched. Then there's my generation that doesn't have a clue what the show is. But the olders and the youngers have got it down. This is a show, I've watched some episodes, where they have times to ask questions of the guest to try to figure out what the guest's occupation is. And it's a waste of time to watch the show, frankly. Spend your time on Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha. But I'm getting this Korean down now. But if you want to know someone, if it's eternal life to know God and to know Jesus, if that's eternal life, how are we gonna know about God? See, here's the problem we got. God made us with this hunger and thirst for Him. And so we're going to have a tendency to want to think about who God is. God not only made us with a hunger and thirst for Him, but God also made us to reflect His image to the world. And our tendency is, instead of reflecting the image of God to the world, we have a tendency to reflect our image of ourselves onto God. And if we're not real careful, we'll think that God is who we think He ought to be. But I got news for you. I was born October 20th, 1960, and before I came into this world, God was already here. He does not need me to tell Him who He is. And He does not need me to figure out who He is, so He will know. I don't put a box around Him. I don't decide what He likes and doesn't like. The tendency for all of us to decide who God is based upon who we want Him to be is a huge tendency. And alarm bells should go off, because our goal is not to figure out who we want Him to be. Our goal is to figure out who He is and relate to Him for who He is. He's got character. The biblical story is one of God who's got character that we need to learn of, and it is very important we do so. And the more we get to know God, the more it transforms us. When we're learning who He is. See, if we just turn God into something we want Him to be, that's not changing us. If anything, we're trying to change God, and spoiler alert, that ain't gonna work. But if instead we'll try and learn who He is, then He'll start changing us. And it's profound how it happens. But this is how we get to know God. This is how we'll get to know ourselves. This is how we'll get to know the world. This is how we'll get to know the past, the present, and the future. It's through knowing God for who He reveals Himself to be. All right? Key point one. Now, key point two. Let's talk about who he is. Let's do some theology. Now, some of you might be a little bit, about this. Be about the traffic on Cypress Wood. Pastor Jeff said, this is the one Sunday where we should have sent out a notice, come 1960. Talking about God, that's what theology is. And theology is not a chore. This is not something, I got to do theology. No, it's not a chore. I want to show you a picture. Okay, this is his first time to be at church here. It came in from Los Angeles. This is our grandson, Caleb James Kirsch. He's a little over 10 months, not quite 11 months. And our daughter, Rachel, and son-in-law, Lee, brought him to Houston this weekend because the mama and daddy had to see Taylor Swift last night. Could have stayed home and watched Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha, but no. So Caleb James is here. Now, do you know what Caleb got to do? Caleb got to go to Lupe Tortilla. Caleb is just getting weaned, you see. And so Caleb had his first taste of queso. Are you ready? I have no trouble talking about Caleb. I can show you pictures and videos, and I can talk until you've got to go to the bathroom. I can not only talk about him, can I tell you that this last week, our 10th grandchild was born. I would like for you to meet Zoe Grace Thee. She's precious too. She's a week old today. There she is at day two, being held by my sweet wife, Becky. At day two, there she is still in the hospital being held by her older brother, John Henry. Yes, he's 3 and a half, with twin sisters that are 19 or 20 months old. 4, 3 and below. You want a prayer life? I'm telling you, it's zone defense from here on out for them. Man-to-man's been gone for a long time. They've got no shot. But it's not a chore for me to tell you stories. I can tell you stories of those kids because we just spent a week there. I can talk about them till you're blue in the face and begging me to quit because I love them and they are that precious. Now, I want to tell you, if theology is talking about God, that's something I get to do. That's not something that I have to do. It's not a chore. I could talk. Jarrett put time on. Jeff leans over to me and says, you got 3 extra minutes because something happened quick. I think Brent was like doing the baptisms extra fast. They still took. We saw him go all the way under, but I saw him do it really quick. I got 3 extra minutes to talk about God. And I'm like, yes, because I can talk about God all day long. This is a great joy. The question to me is, where should I start? Because people have been talking about God forever. Now, the key to this, though, is how God reveals himself. Wherever I start, it needs to be God's revealing of himself. A big difference between Christianity and other religions is for a lot of other religions, especially Eastern religions, you look inside yourself to find the truth. And Christianity and Judaism are based on the premise that for us to truly understand the divine nature of God as fully as we can, he needed to reveal himself. So we have revelation of divine truth. We're not just trying to figure it out on our own. You figure it out on your own and you're doing it like the Greeks did back in their day, where God just becomes a supersized human being. And that's not what God is. In John chapter 14, Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll be happy. We can go home. Just, hey, one quick favor. Show us the Father." And Jesus says, buddy, how long have I been with you and you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What do you mean, show us the Father? Look, here I am. So when we talk about understanding who God is, the fullness of God dwelt in the person of Jesus. You can't understand God the Father without understanding Jesus. So the revelation of God is not simply to read Scripture. It's not simply to take what Paul said in Romans 1 about the evidence of God being in nature around us. It's not simply observing the world. It's not simply inspecting the cry of God in our heart when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But we find God in Jesus Christ. I have a buddy who is intimate with the Gospel of John. This is a buddy of mine who didn't know the Lord. And we were in trial in a case up in New Jersey. And my buddy was helping us with the trial, but his help was help that didn't involve going to the courthouse. But he would go to our rooms. This is a huge case, and so we were worried about, you know, making sure all of our trash was shredded because we knew of lawyers who had bribed the maids to get trash from the rooms and the war rooms, and we didn't want that to happen. And we knew about people who put, this is Atlantic City, New Jersey, where they can put bugs in the hotel room, so we're sweeping for bugs all the time. So my buddy, I talked to him each morning, said, "We're out of the rooms. Can you make sure the rooms are clean?" He says, "Hey, I got a question." I said, "Yeah." He says, you read the Bible." I said, "Right." He says, no, I mean, like, you read it." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Because when I go to your room, you've got a Bible." I said, "I know." He said, "But I mean, like, you move it different places, different days." I said, "Right." He says, "So you read it?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I want to read the Bible. Where do I get one?" I said, "Go to Walmart." I said, "Get any Bible that says anything on it except King James. And when you get it, don't start reading it like a novel. Look in the index, you'll see it's divided into two parts. You got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament. You look under the New Testament, you're going to see something called the Gospel of John. Read that." He said, "Okay." A day or two later, I'm talking to him on the phone. He says, "Hey, I got me one of them Bibles." I said, "Good." He said, "I read the Gospel of John." I said, "Good." He said, "What do I read now?" I said, "Read it again." He says, "Well, I already read it." I said, "Read it again. I read it every time I can. Read it again. John is a gospel that's shallow enough for a gnat to drink, but deep enough for an elephant to swim. Just keep reading it. You'll get something new out of it." Well, this goes on. A couple weeks later, the trial's over. I'm in New York City, about to get on an elevator. I'm getting out of a taxi. I'm trying to hold my stuff. I've got to give a speech, so I got to get there. Like, I'm running late. And my buddy calls me on the cell. I thought, I don't know if I can carry this and talk. And I said, "Hey, buddy, I don't have but a second because I got to get in an elevator. I'm going to lose this. I got to get upstairs. I got to give a speech. I'm running late. What's up?" He said, "I'm tired of reading John. I think I've memorized that book. I need to read something else." And I said, "Okay." He said, I read Matthew. I said, "Great." He said, "No, not great. I'm going to hell." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, before I couldn't kill people, now I can't even hate them. And I got a long list. Before I couldn't commit adultery, now I'm not supposed to lust. And I got a long list." He says, "I'm going to hell. What do I do?" And I'm like, "Lord." I said, "Quit reading Matthew and go read John. I'll call you later." And I hung up. I'd love to tell you that I was a saint who finished my speech, went out and called him immediately and walked him through salvation. But I didn't. I totally forgot. And he calls me the next day. You never called me back. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, well, I got tired of reading John, and you told me not to read Matthew, so I found another book by John. It's called Revelation, and I read that instead. I said, yes. He said, well, yesterday I was afraid I was going to hell. Now I'm afraid to go outside. I'll tell you, he gave his heart to the Lord shortly thereafter. And he's a faithful brother in the Lord. And he's on the West Coast this morning and said he'd be watching this. So I didn't use his name. I love him to death. John is a great gospel to learn about God in. So in England in the 1600s, early 1600s, they were in a real controversy trying to figure out religion. So Parliament asked all of their learned scholars to get together and to produce something about the faith, about God. Put together something that the Brits could use in their church. And so they gathered together at Westminster Cathedral and produced the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's got some marvelous statements about God as the consensus opinion. Now, I could stand up here and just tell you these things and act like they come from me, but they did a much better job, and they worked 5 years on this or something, a long time. Look at this. There is but one only living and true God. It's based on the John 17 passage, who's infinite in being and perfection. Infinite. That means he can listen to you while he listens to me. And heaven knows he's got to listen to Miss Carolyn pray about Dr. Hank. I mean, he can listen to all of us at the same time. 8 billion people. He can be in the past while he's in the present, while he's in the future. He's infinite in being, and he's infinite in perfection. He can't get any better. He's a most pure spirit. He's invisible, without a body, without parts, without passions. He's not passions in the sense of, gee, I'm hungry. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's immense. He's eternal, lasts forever. He's incomprehensible. We can't understand him fully. We can understand him truly, but not fully. He's almighty. He's most wise. He's most holy. He's most free. He's most absolute. He's most loving. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and truth. He's forgiving iniquity. He forgives transgression. He forgives sin. He rewards those that diligently seek him. He has all life, all glory, all. You want life? Only one place to get it. You want to experience goodness? Only one place. All good gifts come from only one place. Blessedness in and of himself. Get this. He's alone in and unto himself, all sufficient. In other words, he doesn't need you. God did not make people because he was a narcissistic sycophant who wanted a bunch of people to walk around and go, oh, you're holy, you're holy, so he can feel good about himself. God did not create us to get something from us. God created you and me to give us something. He's a giving God. He doesn't need anything from the creatures he's made. I mean, the psalmist says, honestly, you really think he needs that cow you're killing? He owns all the cows. He made them. He doesn't get glory because we sing songs of adoration to him. It's not like, oh, he was about an 8.9 in glory, but now that we've worshiped this morning, he's up to a 9.1. Thank you, Darrell. Now, there's also negative theology, and this is where we sometimes define God by who he's not. God is not an amoeba. He doesn't change. He's a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness. There are, Cafe Theology. Great book if you want to be a theologian. I brought 4 copies. I'm going to leave them up here for free with a condition. You have to be under the age of 24. You have to be at least 16, and you have to agree you'll try to read it. It's very readable. You meet those conditions, grab one. But Michael Lloyd writes in there, there are few better ways of getting to know someone than by working together on the same project you're both passionate about, and the same is true with getting to know God. Now, I'm going to call the worship team up here because I wanted to play this song from this album. And Brent said to me, because they get up here real early, he says to me just like 30 minutes before church starts, he says, or it's a little longer than that, but not by much. He says, we'll just sing it. I said, do you know it? Nah, I never heard it before. We'll figure it out. And they really haven't. Would y'all come on up and sing this song? I'm going to try and put the lyrics up here. We'll see how this does. I called the John Michael Talbot, who's got the original song, and I said, can we do this? And he says, yeah, just shoot me a big royalty check. And then he said, no, those go to the record company. Forget it. You don't have to pay anything. So, guys, give it a shot.
Holy Lord, the only God, and your deeds are wonderful, and you are strong, you are great.
That's who God is. Thank you for blessing us. What an amazing worship team. Thank you so much for blessing us with that. Here's the way Paul said it to Timothy: to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's who God is. That's theology. That's talking about God. But I've got a minute and 4 seconds left, and I want to cover how does this matter after church is over. Next time I get to talk to you, I'm going to tell you the story about the taxi driver in New York City. I don't have time. Instead, I'm going to tell you the moral to the story. We need all of God, so let's learn all about God. He's got treasure for you, and until you know him, you won't experience the treasure. You need all of God. I need all of God, so let's learn all about him that we can, because we all need help. And we all need to know that the Lord is a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know his name, which means his reputation, who he is, what he does, those who know him put their trust in him. We all understand the difficulties of life. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. And he says, and when you see me doing that, you're seeing the Father. We all need kindness. And Jesus is the Father. When he goes ashore and he sees a great crowd and has compassion on them and heals the sick. We all know what it's like to try to struggle to make ends meet. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they? Yeah, we all need help. And we all can know that even when we pray, we don't have to do it with a bunch of empty words because our Father knows what we need before we ask him. So I don't care where you are, and I don't care what struggles you have today, and I don't care what problems are in front of you. I can tell you that Jesus and the Father stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears his voice, he'll open the door, he'll come in, he'll eat with you and you with him. How does this matter when church is over? It makes all the difference in the world because this is the character of God. God's character is without equal. So let's get to know him better.